From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me.
When it comes to statisticians, they could be relatively boring. Not my next guest. The best of the best. Ted Dabrowski, president of Wire Points. How are you, Ted? Come on, Ted. I teed it up for you. Nothing?
Oh, here I am. Sorry about that. My phone connection broke. How you doing, man?
Good, good. You know, I have to tell you, I wanted to get you on because I read the thing about AT&T leaving the what was used to be the Magnificent Mile now just looks like Skid Row. I mean, how many stores? You got 6 million vacant square feet in what used to be the financial district. When you think about the hundreds of thousands of people that are gone, it's outrageous to me. And instead of trying to improve it, these idiots are making it worse. What is the only industry in Chicago that's really on the uptick?
Cannabis for sure, right?
Yeah.
A lot of weed stores, and that's a big growth market.
See, but you got to remember, brother, I'm from Melrose Park. I look at crime as an industry. Crime is an industry.
Yeah,
it's a multi-billion dollar industry, no taxes, and they got the protection in place called the government now. And what's the percentage of uptick since Brandon Johnson has been the mayor?
Well, look, if you look back a year ago and compare it to today, we have 38% more crimes in Illinois. So it's year on year, 38% more. And, you know, and this trend has been going on for so long. Lightfoot, you know, had a horrible trend, and he's continuing it. And actually, you know, I think he's going to make it worse with his words. Everything he said is actually just perpetuating crime and then inviting more crime.
But this is the beauty of failure. It makes you long for the good old days when Lori Lightfoot was in office or Rahm Emanuel. And when the people who inhabit the areas have no standards, how does it stop if the trajectory is this parabolic? How do you possibly get it under control? Because this scheme of hiring your friends and calling them peacekeepers, this has failed miserably thus far. Is there any new program you're aware of? I mean, aside from one that costs the people money.
No, all he's talking about right now is spending money. And look, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Until he's not going to do it, right? So he's not going to flip the model. But the model has to be such that you start arresting people. So you have to let police do policing. And that means you got to be able to chase them. You got to be able to, you know, track them down. You got to be able to, like, cuff them up and take them in. Then you've got to be able to prosecute them. Well, Kim Fox, you know, she's a lame duck for 2 years. She's not going to prosecute, you know, at all. And then, of course, if somebody does get prosecuted and they go to Judge Tim Evans, a Cook County judge, well, you know, he's been the one who's kind of led the effort on no bail. He's actually reduced bail a lot. And so you've got less sentencing. So you're creating just a great place to do crime. You know, we only on the major crimes, we only arrest 5% of those major crimes. So it pays to do crime. You're going to get away with it. And even if you get arrested, they're going to let you out anyway. So what the hell?
The problem that I have is that it wouldn't be so bad as if the people at least recognized it and said, okay, these are bad people with bad policies. The corruption is systemic. So let's figure out how to keep them out of national office. But by all looks of it, there's talk that Pritzker could be potentially a presidential candidate. And I'm wondering if you think the failings, the obvious corruption and failings, of Chicago, of the Pritzker family, of the Penny Pritzker and the rest of it, and all the skullduggery, do you think it'll weigh him down, pun intended, on a national level?
Well, you know, if it does weigh him down, he doesn't seem to think so. If you, I encourage everybody to watch his speech that he gave in New Hampshire. It's been a few months now. And, you know, New Hampshire is where the first primary is. And so he went there to open up the possibilities. And if you listen to his speech, he sells. And I'm glad all Americans get to hear this. He sells the hell out of his progressive agenda. And he makes it so clear that he wants to pursue the same things he's doing in Illinois. He wants to pursue them nationally. He's an unabashed promoter of what he does. And, you know, for me, every American should know exactly what he wants to push.
Now, in his budget, The financial skullduggery in it is outrageous, but I learned something, and I learned it from you guys. They gave themselves raises on top of raises, correct?
Yeah, we had. So in January of this year, they gave themselves like a 17% raise. And then they turned around and gave themselves another raise just now, another 5%, you know, nearly $5,000. So it's going to be like a 25% raise when you compound it. 25% raise in 1 year.
Well, that explains why so many people are complaining. And this is just the lawmakers. But there's also more money for jobs. And this comes, how did Illinois get this money? Where did the money, is it the money tree? How'd they get the money?
Where does Illinois get the money? Well, we know where it all came from in the short term, and that's the 200, you know, the hard money that came in was $200 billion almost in COVID relief money. It went to the private sector, went to the public sector, the companies, the people, $200 billion, and people are still spending that money now. It was all part of that COVID relief, and it really just pumped up the sales tax revenues for the state, income tax revenues, capital gains tax revenues, and the government's still spending all that money now.
That's my biggest beef.
But it's running out.
That along with the warp speed is my biggest beef against Trump. How could he not see what these Democrats were specifically going to do? How they fudged the numbers. And now this Fred Flintstone-looking freak has the audacity to pretend he balanced budgets. He literally took the welfare money, commingled it with his money, pretended to have a balanced budget, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. And he's actually even had the gall to say that he balanced the budget without the federal money, which is about as big an untruth as you can make.
And he'll never get called on it because everyone expects the Democrats to lie. But the other thing that's interesting to me is the money bundlers. Now, I've always had a real problem with the money bundlers who sell the bonds, who loan the money to Illinois, because they charge a taxing body three times the cost of money. So now you've got the interest rates that are ridiculous, parabolic. Has anybody done the math on what it's going to cost Illinois to buy money in the future in the form of debt? And is anybody talking about the fact that sooner or later this funny money is going to run out? Or do you think the table is set with the Democrats that they're just going to refill the COVID money and come up with a different name for it?
Well, you know, there's going to be a huge attempt. And of course, it all depends on who owns the House and the Senate in 2024. But you can bet that they're going to try to find all kinds of ways, call it infrastructure, call it whatever you want to call it. But Illinois is going to need, especially Chicago, is going to have to figure out how to fund its pensions. And that money's going to start coming due. The COVID money's running out, and then the bills are coming due on pensions. And so that combination is going to create a bit of havoc here. Now, the question is going to be, right, if the Democrats control Congress again, they'll figure out a way to fund it. But if I'm guessing if Republicans can get in and control part of it again or keep control, then it makes it harder for these bailouts to happen.
You know what's interesting to me, Ted, and you wrote about it in Wire Points. I don't know if it was specifically you, but it was a story. A lot of Democrats are fully aware of the corruption in the TIF programs and the fraud, the open manipulation and bastardization of those programs. And Pilsen, put a fight up against TIFs, and there's always a scandal in it, yet it always goes to the same scallywags. How is that industry void from any kind of oversight or auditing, or does it simply have enough people on the inside to prevent any kind of oversight into the TIF program? And what kind of numbers are we talking about?
Well, you know, so Chicago TIFs have had over $1 billion. So this is tax money that in theory normally would be part of the normal tax and budget cycle of Chicago, and it'd be spent on schools and road, whatever it is, right? The normal budget. Well, what they've done is they've created a slush fund, and the money the tax money that goes into that slush fund is controlled by the mayor. It's over $1 billion. I don't know, it might be close to $1.5 billion now a year. And what it's done is it's been there long enough, and each mayor has had access to it and control of it, that everybody knows that's how things operate. And that's the funny money that's used to kind of pay things off, make things run okay, even though it's a mess because the mayor gets to control that slush fund. And it's corrupt as hell, and it's sad that it still exists, but nobody wants to take it on at all. And there's quite a few groups that call out for it, call out against it, but there's no power to fix that thing now. It's the funny money, this slush fund, and the mayor wants to own it, and he or she controls it, and they like it that way.
You know, Ted, what's funny is we have some legacy investigative reporters in this city. I mean, I know every station, every major media station has them, from the Chuck Gowdy with the Amish hips all the way up to Mike Flannery. Do they ever discuss the kind of TIF money? When's the last time there was an investigative report on the $1 billion, which seems like a lot of money in Chicago? When is the last time that anybody even really looked in it other than wire points?
You know, Sean, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And I'll tell you the reason I can tell you why. In Kenilworth, you know where Kenilworth is?
Yeah.
It's right next to Winnetka. It's like probably the richest individual city in Illinois.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has, what, 7,000? It's really small. They just created a TIF in Kenilworth. TIFs are meant to be, to quote, support blighted areas.
I know what they, it's, I mean, great.
And, you know, Kenilworth, a blighted area. So this is the kind of problem we have, is that TIFs are a vehicle for every government in Illinois to get a slush fund. And that's why nobody wants to kill it, because even Kenilworth wants its own TIF. So nobody's going to complain about Chicago because they want theirs for their own city.
I mean, TIF is really Democrat speak for the ghetto neighborhood hustle. And Kenilworth is going to get it. And is there anybody that even brings it up? You know, I was astonished to see in the running for mayor, the guy who was supposed to be a Republican, even though he's just a fraud, he didn't even mention it. And I kept saying to myself, he's got to talk about this. Not even a blurb, not in a debate, nothing. And is it because, and I mean this seriously, is it because we see the numbers in education, the amount of Chicagoans that can even read? Isn't this also a major problem, major cornerstone of Chicago's real problem? It's kind of full of the charlatans that have the scams, the architects that create the scams, and then the morons that are too stupid to figure it out?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the big problem with Illinois and Chicago is that everybody's living off this. There's too many people living off the system, right? There's too many people that got their hands in the cookie jar, and nobody wants to upset the apple cart, right? I mean, that's a lot of anyway, so yeah, everybody's got some benefit from it. And, you know, and it also extends to the corporate elite. And this is the problem. You know, I argue that Chicago has some very serious, great corporations, right, that in theory could make a difference in squeezing reforms out of Chicago. But, you know, I think most of them want to be, they want to be invited to the parties. They don't want to be kept out of the big functions. And so they have to go along to get along. And they don't oppose the corruptness that we have in Chicago and Illinois.
So what you're seeing in these Democrat mafia-run areas in San Francisco, and you're seeing people walk away from buildings. We're seeing people, Westfield, for example, is an astonishing deed in lieu, where the owners of the Westfield Shopping Center just said, here's the keys, take the $590-some million debt, and we'll see you when we see you. Chicago has 6 million vacant square feet. AT&T is just the latest of numerous retailers that have pulled out. Those landlords all cozied up to the short in the pants mafia to get their taxes lowered, but still they can't afford it at this, when there's no rent coming in and the capital calls will start coming. Are we seeing deed in lieus? Are we seeing foreclosures the way I think they are, the way I often read about in the loop in the city of Chicago?
Yeah, no, I think we are. You know, the big deal is going to be. So here's the thing. Right now, we talked about, you know, there's a occupancy rate, let's say, call it 80% in Chicago. So I should say lease rate, right? So yeah. 80% of the buildings are leased. But the reality is if you look at how many people are actually in the buildings, when you look at swipes, which is the Castle is the company that does the swipes, mm-hmm. you know, the buildings are half full. And so, you know, it takes 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years for leases to come up. So the question is going to be, you know, as these leases come up and companies don't extend their full, you know, use the same space they're using today, you could see a massive, massive problem on what happens with these buildings. And, you know, we've already seen what's happening with the Aon Center and others. That's the scary part. You know, this is what they're calling the doom loop. Everybody should know the word doom loop. San Fran's in it right now where, you know,
I'm a Mark Faber guy.
In.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Fewer people are coming into on the trains. Few people are spending money, right? That makes the restaurants have trouble, makes the, you know, transportation have trouble, makes the offices have trouble, tax receipts go down. The next thing you know, you can't afford your police, you can't afford your fire, and you're in a doom loop. And that's the risk we run here in Chicago. And San Fran looks like they're in it.
So Brandon Johnson, or as I call him, Big Lori Lightfoot, he his new administration, they come out and they say something that, you know, would have shocked decent people, but in Chicago they get excited about it. First, we get the money. Well, when people start abandoning taxes or property, the tax money stops rolling in. When businesses go away, the tax money stops rolling in. But that never really stops the Marxist. The Marxist has new and creative ways to get money. What is the chatter on the new creative ways that the Brandon Johnson, also known as Big Lori Lightfoot, intends on getting the money?
Well, you know, he's wanted to do a head tax on people who work in the city. He wants to do sometimes an income tax. He wants a tax on people coming in on the trains, all kinds of stuff. I think he's going to quickly find out, and I think he's already finding out. Even Pritzker's kind of poo-pooed a financial tax. You know, like, let's do a financial tax every single transaction that the Chicago Mercantile Exchange does. Let's tax it. He's finding that he's not going to get support for that, and that he's going to be left with what Lori Lightfoot and Rahm Emanuel were left with, and that's property tax hikes. And nobody likes those, so he's in big trouble, because if he's made all these promises, he's going to have trouble with, as we just talked about, the tax revenues. And once he starts going after property taxes, watch out, because you'll have more people flee. The other thing he wants to do is go after the millionaires and people with nicer homes, a big tax on when they sell their homes. So it's going to be a war if he starts doing all that.
Now, two things. Don't ever say poo-pooed and Pritzker in the same sentence. Everyone thinks of a tub. Secondly, when you talk about income tax, so you'd have a state income tax, you have a federal income tax, and then there's a possibility of having a Chicago income tax?
Yeah, you'd have a city tax. Yeah, city income tax. And yeah, I don't think that'll fly. But then again, you never know what these legislators will do if Chicago starts to struggle. Will they start adding more taxes out of desperation? Why not?
So I know that Wire Points is not going to go into the marijuana distribution business or the video game poker machine business. Have you thought about having a area on your site where you could bet on the new taxes that'll be put on? We could have a long shot like a fentanyl tax, and we could have a for sure thing like a 23% you drive in Chicago tax like they did in Manhattan. Have you ever thought about expanding revenue at Wire Points?
I think those are good ideas. Another sad one is, you know, kind of a crime tracker, you know, let people guess what the crime will be on a weekend. But that's a pretty sad thing to do.
It's like a revenue think tank. You see what I do to you? It takes a kid from Melrose Park to make it profitable at wirepoints.org, because you need to make more money, because the information you provide for the people that want to be in the know is priceless, Ted Dabrowski. And I appreciate you taking time out to cheat on the morning show by coming on my show. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Thank you.